Thanks for listening to another episode of Project Zion. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts the Restoration offers for today's world. Project Zion is sponsored by the Latter-day Seekers team from Community of Christ.
Welcome. I'm Karen Peter, and this is Common Grounds, where we have conversations about the liturgical calendar, or as many call it, the Christian calendar. So we'll offer a brief review for those who are starting in the middle of our series. Through the seasons and holy days of the liturgical calendar, we relive the story of faith, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. In each season, we participate with our whole being through scripture and symbol and color and the hymnody that we sing. As we learn about the calendar and live it as a spiritual practice, we begin to deepen our understanding of discipleship and what it means to be in Christian community. The calendar begins 4 weeks before Christmas with the season of Advent and moves through Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Easter, Pentecost, and Ordinary Time. Today, the topic we have is Ordinary Time, or the season after Pentecost. Our guest is Janae Grover. Janae is a full-time minister with Community of Christ. She serves as an apostle and member of the Council of 12 and is responsible for discipleship formation in Community of Christ. So, Janae, welcome.
Thank you.
And would you be willing to tell us a little bit about yourself so the listener gets to know you?
Sure. I was, my original career and passion was in education and music. I was a band and orchestra director. So I carry that passion for music and teaching through my responsibilities in my field and in ministry. And also in disciple formation. So that whole aspect of teaching and learning is something that I'm very passionate about. As far as my personal life, my husband Kevin is a middle school principal, and we have three children. Zach is 17, Dylan is 15, and Caitlin is 12.
So you are the mother of teenagers.
I am.
Okay. You're a busy lady. So today we're going to talk about Ordinary Time, Janae, and it kind of sounds boring when you first say Ordinary Time. Some people kind of raise their eyebrows. But when you and I talked about doing a podcast episode and I asked you which season or holy day you would be interested in sharing about, you kind of jumped at Ordinary Time. So tell us why that might be to kind of begin our conversation.
Sure. So Ordinary Time is actually my favorite time. And this goes to the whole teaching learning aspect that that I'm passionate about, because Ordinary Time focuses on the teaching of Jesus. And so there are actually two seasons. So there's the large ordinary time that is between Pentecost and Advent. There's also a shorter time that's between Epiphany and Lent that is kind of overlooked as ordinary time, but it follows the baptism of the Lord. So there's this period of time after Jesus' baptism that is ordinary time, and then this large period of time that is focused on the teaching of Jesus, and it's also focusing on what it means to be a disciple in light of all of the holy days and festivals. So it's making meaning or finding meaning out of all of the extraordinary aspects of the birth, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, and what it means to live that out. So for me, ordinary time is when all of this all comes together, where the rubber hits the road, so to speak, of living that all out.
So when we talked about this ordinary time and begin to talk about sharing in it. And we talked a little bit about the discipleship aspect of that. One of the things about the calendar is that we do go through all of these kind of holy days and festivals, and they're very exciting. We have the anticipation of Advent, and we have the celebration of Christmas, and of course the most important period of observance and celebration, which is from Good Friday to then Easter Sunday. Ordinary time doesn't have any of that in it, does it?
Correct.
So what is there really to get excited about when we talk about what it means to follow the teachings of Jesus? What does that look like in ordinary time?
So to kind of give a big picture of kind of where we find ourselves in Scripture. So in each calendar year, we have a focus on a different gospel. And there's also a different connection to the Hebrew Scriptures. So in year A, we focus on Matthew and the connection to the Mosaic tradition. In year B, we focus on Mark and the connection to the Davidic sequence in the Hebrew Scriptures. And then in year C, we focus on Luke and major prophets. So that's where we find our Scripture focus in each calendar year, each liturgical cycle.
And so when you say the Mosaic tradition or the Davidic tradition, you're talking about the stories and the scriptures that revolve around Moses for the Mosaic tradition. And then the Davidic would be those stories and promises and covenants that revolve around David, King David, as we know from the Old Testament. Okay.
Yeah. And then with Luke, we have that connection with the major prophets and some of the minor prophets, so those books of Scripture. And so when we think about ordinary time, so when we look at the big chunk of ordinary time between Pentecost and Advent, since currently we're in year A and we're in the book of Matthew, so we have lots of these stories that are familiar. And parables. So we have parables about the mustard seed, and we have the stories, the miracle stories of the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000 and Jesus walking on water. And so there's this exploration of these familiar stories and parables, but then so the richness of ordinary time is what those really mean, what those teach us about living as disciples today. And also, another focus of ordinary time is really this whole bigger recognizing God in kind of the ordinariness of life. And so that's another connection with ordinary time that I like. So where there aren't these celebrations, it's really indicative of life, because life is kind of this normal pattern that is punctuated by these celebrations of births and deaths and different life celebrations. But most of it is this routine or this normal pattern of life, and discipleship is then living that God life in connection with this normal rhythm of life. And so finding this, recognizing God in all this ordinariness of life, but also finding what all of these celebrations and all of these important meanings in terms of the birth of Jesus and the death and resurrection of Jesus, but what it means to just live that out. And all of these other stories that teach us what that means to follow this Jesus.
So I have kind of two questions that come out of that explanation, Janae. And the first one has to do with our spiritual formation as disciples of Jesus Christ. That the living of that, the recognition of God, as you said, in our ordinary life, our everyday life, is what contributes to that continued deepening of our spiritual formation. So during ordinary time, as disciples, how does that that richness of the story shape and form us in our spiritual formation? And perhaps even in what ways could we be more intentional about that as we go through ordinary time?
So I think that's a really great question. And I think that if we really looked at this as kind of that opportunity, one of the things So where I live, the period of ordinary time is over the summer. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we have these rhythms that maybe take us away from kind of traditional congregation practices or being together in a congregation. But we have camps and we have family camps or reunions that draw us apart, or we have family vacations that are kind of these things that we celebrate that kind of take us out of a normal routine. So there's ways of looking at those as formational experiences. But to get to your question of how we look at ordinary time as a way that shapes us, I think it's finding that is really the essence of our formation. So finding what those practices are, that whether they're daily practices or this practice of holy attention in kind of this ordinariness of life. So this recognizing how God is present and working in our lives in these normal patterns, but that how we treat everything as formational. So that is that holy attention of really being present in the awareness of God in all that we do. And so rather than treating ordinary time as this vacation away from the spiritual life, It is really the essence of the spiritual life. It's really where we find those rhythms as individuals, as families, those everyday rhythms of living the God life, whatever that means. So it could be mindfulness at mealtime. It's finding those practices that bring meaning to the ordinary aspects of every day, and then deepening our relationships with God, with one another in those opportunities.
So you mentioned our family kind of experiences that we have, especially if ordinary time is in the vacation from school period, where we have more time together as families and take vacations as families. And so I'm curious, when we talk about ordinary time and spiritual formation, we tend to kind of think about in our adult world, since that's where most of us are who are listening to the podcast. But many of us have children and grandchildren. And some of the festival seasons are way more fun to experience with kids, or to teach kids about and kind of look through their lens. What are some ways that children and perhaps teenagers, as in your home, might experience ordinary time, or in some cases be introduced to ordinary time that would be meaningful for them?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And so here's an experience in my family. So one year in particular, we were very intentional about our journey through Lent. And one of the kind of the ahas for me as a mom is, why is this just for Lent? So what is the takeaway that we can put into practice? And that's one of the things that I love about Lent is, any time in the liturgical year that there's kind of this heightened attention, it's what finds its way into the rest of our life as practices. So one of the things that I think is a real easy practice is this the practice of examine. And in every day, whether it's at mealtime or at nighttime before bed or with family prayers or whenever the family is gathered, is this practice of examine of, where did you find God today, or where did you recognize God today? And that has always been practiced in our family. We call it highs and lows, but there's also to shift that in a way that's not just recognizing kind of high points and low points about activities in your day, but just shifting that question of, where did you experience God's presence today? or how did you share God's presence with another? And so shifting kind of a regular practice or regular conversation in just a little bit of a way that reminds us to recognize that. So that's one practice in terms of with families. Sometimes it's just raising that question or just raising that conversation about, you know, we don't have conversations about the liturgical calendar.
No.
That's not a common, you know, family topic, but it's
We do in my house, but that's because I'm a liturgical calendar nerd.
So. Well, we do in my house because I am too. But that's something that I think many families maybe don't think about. And part of that is kind of that separation of our spiritual life and our real life. And so that is another aspect of ordinary time that I feel like just really brings that all together, is not looking at our spiritual life as a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Christmas or Easter or Lent, or, you know, not looking at it in terms of those bigger things, but recognizing our spiritual life as all life, that this recognition that all things are spiritual. You know, that's part of our DNA, part of our tradition, is that recognition that all things are spiritual. And so just being open to that awareness. And I think that that does start to bring life to the rhythm of the liturgical calendar as it kind of mirrors the rhythm of life.
Absolutely. So I know about my kind of learning style and my spiritual learning style, if you will, the way that I absorb or begin to relate to God's Spirit being present with me. And I'm an extremely visual person. And so I put reminders all over my house about everything. So this year, my spouse and I decided that we would have a visual reminder in our living room of where we were in the liturgical calendar. And we chose our mantle. And so with each season and holy day, what we have on the mantle changes as this continual reminder for us at the end of every day of where we are together in this. So the visual aspect for me is pretty easy to default to. I know you were a music educator. So if you were going to select maybe images or hymnody or music that for you would be a good reminder or a good way to experience ordinary time, what would you select?
Oh, I love that question. And by the way, I love that practice. I think that is a wonderful visual thing to incorporate for families to bring that into their home, is to that reminder. So I love that. Here's something that's funny. I think in songs all the time until somebody asks me to think of a song.
So, so I should have warned you about that question.
So I will keep thinking and it will come up. But one of the liturgical color for ordinary time is green. And this is something that I actually looked up in preparation for this, because so it symbolizes, now for me, it symbolizes hope and new life, which comes out of kind of that, the whole budding of spring in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, but the whole budding of new life. And also the green, you know, think of green grass or plants of green, that color is this, associated with, for me, with life and growth. And so that's kind of what ordinary time is about. The practical side of that is that green is the most common color in plant dyes. And so since it's the longest liturgical season, that was the color that they chose to use for vestments.
because they had
more access to it. So that's kind of interesting. But if you think about whether it's a plant, that symbolizes or that becomes kind of that symbol of growth, or those colors in the home. Another symbol that is often used is the loaves and fishes symbol. And that's one of the stories that is found in all of the Gospels. And it's common, it's that story, we find that in Ordinary Time, one of the miracle stories. But that's also one of those very familiar stories. So anything that resonates with some of those parables or those teachings, that becomes that symbol of living that out. So we have the symbol, the Christian symbol of the cross, you know, that is kind of universal and pervasive for everyone, but bringing kind of those symbols of those stories, whatever story it is that really resonates with you or that teaching moment that Jesus has in interactions, that's where we find in Ordinary Time. We have all of those stories and those teaching moments of Jesus with the disciples. And so anything that kind of brings those stories to mind or that resonate, I think, could be symbols mm-hmm. of Ordinary Time. But I really resonate with kind of that that color and that symbol of life. And I also love to incorporate songs with practices and especially with body prayer. So some of the simplest songs that we have in the hymnal are songs that are easy to learn and easy to remember, and so they can be just kind of part of that everyday prayer life. One of them is Come and Fill. So come and fill our hearts with your peace. That's a simple song. It's easy to learn, and I like to incorporate it with body prayer. So any of those kinds of practices that bring song and prayer together resonate with me and could be practices that are incorporated.
So you've talked about examine, the spiritual mm-hmm. practice of examine and body prayer. If folks are interested in finding spiritual practices that would work for them or their families, where would they go to find those?
Yeah, so on the website, under
the website being Community of Christ,
CofChrist.org. If you go to the Develop Disciples to Serve, under that there's lessons and ideas. There's also spiritual formation, or you can just search it spiritual practices for children. So there's a whole collection of practices for all ages, but there are also a collection of practices with children. One of the things that I have discovered is that that kids will resonate with any practice. Sometimes we kind of look at spiritual formation in kind of a high level way, or that a real spiritually mature sense to aspire to. But really, practices, it's just an everyday kind of awareness, whatever helps draw us into that. So centering prayer can be as easy or as involved as we want to make it. But children really will resonate with a lot of practices. And sometimes it's just, like I said, with examine, it's just shifting how the questions are asked, or having moments of silence, or having centering prayer of everybody comes up with their own word, you know, just creatively engaging them in different practices. And they really are open to those practices.
So hopefully some helpful ideas for parents and grandparents there.
Yeah.
So in Community of Christ, I'm not sure in congregational life if we've really talked about Ordinary Time as this is what we're doing in our discipleship formation. And yet we've been engaged in that for all of our existence. As you mentioned, with our restoration heritage of all things are spiritual. Mm-hmm. And so Ordinary Time as part of that. Do you have any specific or personal memories of something that you have engaged in, or some practice or occasion during Ordinary Time that has really spoken to you or has helped you in your own personal discipleship?
So that's a good question. And I don't know that there is one in particular, other than, like I mentioned, kind of the time of the year where I live, where ordinary time is over the course of the summer. And so I think about reunion experiences or camp experiences, because it is a drawing apart, and yet it's this fully present in whatever that community or that experience is. So those kind of help. It seems like a contradiction if ordinary time is about how our discipleship is lived out in the everyday, and then we're talking about kind of these special circumstances, and yet those are opportunities for kind of a heightened awareness, because we draw apart from the things that are maybe distractions throughout our everyday. It allows us to be more fully present. And so I think those are probably memories or experiences that bring that to light, because it allows opportunity to be fully present. And sometimes that's what family vacations do as well, is draw us apart from the regular routine of life. And so we have a heightened opportunity for kind of that awareness, whether it's removing to another location and recognizing God's presence in a different part of creation. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also one of the things for me as a mom. In the United States, there is great geographical diversity. So it's a fairly large country with oceans and mountains and deserts and prairies and all these different aspects of creation. And one of the things that we have discovered about traveling in our own country is discovering all of these wonderful aspects of God's creation that's around us. And that's a practice. That's a practice of gratitude and also of holy attention to this created order of life and the diversity that there is in life. And so that's a practice.
It's almost expanding the solitary practice of walking in nature.
Exactly.
Into a community or family practice.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And another thing that I thought about is something that I like to do in retreats or anytime I'm with a group of people, is listing everyday activities, just ordinary things about your day, and then turning that into a spiritual practice. And it's really just a way of shifting our thinking about whether it's shifting that towards gratitude or holy attention or whatever it is, but taking those ordinary things and recognizing God's presence in that. So, you know, just like the big things of creation or walking in nature, but shifting the smallest things even toward that practice of awareness.
So the small things, such as I'm brushing my teeth in the morning, and gratitude for the clean water, as I recognize not everyone has access to that.
Yeah.
So we talked about the fact that there aren't any major festivals or holidays during ordinary time, but there are a couple of days during ordinary time that have some special significance. One of those is Trinity Sunday at the beginning of Ordinary Time. And then towards the end, we have All Saints and the Reign of Christ.
Right.
And we'll be doing episodes on each of those. But my question about that is, why would those be included in our ordinary time rather than being separate seasons of their own?
So that is a great question. But I think that because those 2 days, Trinity Sunday and, so I'm thinking of Trinity Sunday and Reign of Christ, those as bookends to the largest period and of ordinary time. And again, there's another one that's the baptism of the Lord that leads into a smaller
in the season
period.
After Epiphany.
Yeah. But when you think of bookending this large period of ordinary time with kind of this foundation, it really frames what it means to be a disciple, to be grounded in this foundation of God as three persons, God as Father, Son, Holy Spirit, or God, whatever your language is, but to be grounded in that foundation and also to be grounded in this recognition of who Jesus is and what it means to follow Jesus. I think that's part of that. I think that's an interesting aspect. I don't know why they're not, why they are included in ordinary time, other than the fact that we look at ordinary time in light of those realities.
So it's almost as if we're walking in the presence and empowered by Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer, walking towards, through ordinary time, what it is to be, to live the kingdom of God
right.
on earth.
Right.
Yeah. The bookends, I'll take that with me from our episode, the bookends of ordinary time.
Yeah.
So have you thought of a hymn or a song as we've been talking here that would be an expression of ordinary time?
Well, the first one that came to mind is Take the Path of the Disciple. Just because that is this journey. You know, and so when you think about this journey through ordinary time, it is what it means to walk with Jesus every day. So to take the path of the disciple is shaped by the wholeness of the liturgical calendar, but it's lived out in our everyday life. So that's one that just came to mind. And as soon as we're done with this podcast, I'll come up with about a dozen songs.
If we can put an addendum in.
But also that Pilgrims on a Journey, Companions on the Journey, anything that kind of recognizes that this is not kind of this one time, it's this daily. It's a journey. It is, and as is all of life. And it's shaped by the holistic nature of the God life and the life, ministry, death, resurrection of Jesus. But it's this daily one foot in front of the other and this daily choice and choices of what it means to follow Jesus, to be a disciple.
So as you kind of think back of what we've talked about so far in our discussion and as we bring this to a close, can you share maybe one thing that you would recommend or ask people to do as we enter ordinary time here in this season in 2017? What is one thing that people could do to help in individual or in family discipleship formation through this very important season in the calendar?
So I would encourage people to find that one thing, whether it's adopting one family practice or finding a family symbol or a personal symbol, finding a symbol, but something that kind of brings a focus. But finding one thing or being intentional each day in a new way. So maybe it's the practice of examine, or maybe it's kind of a long-term goal over these 3-4 months or whatever. Here's what we want to try to do. But I think that just to bring attention to it and to honoring kind of this shared journey. So in a family, you know, this shared journey through ordinary time, how are we going to live that in a new way this year? How are we going to recognize it? And I think it would be exciting to hear what people might come up with. But, how are we going to honor the holy in each other? Or how are we going to recognize the holy in another person. So anything that kind of invites us to experience it in a new way, I think brings freshness. It's just like with any season, it's that choice to journey through that season in an intentional way. So finding one thing, and maybe it's that symbol or that...
Our mantle.
Mantle. Whatever it is, or just that decision that we're going to try something new. And we're going to recognize the sacredness of this journey.
And if folks need or would like ideas, of course, we can point people to the seaofchrist.org website and discipleship formation and lots of the resources that you've mentioned and spiritual practices as well as resources for children and discipleship formation. And you heard it there. If you have reflections on how you observed ordinary time this year and you'd like to share them, then you can certainly contact Janae or myself through the seaofchrist.org website and share with us your experiences. So I'd like to thank you very much for this conversation. I'm going to close with a brief reading. It comes from Pierre Chardin. And this is what we have to close our discussion on ordinary time. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything to reach the end without delay. We would like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet, it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability and that it may take a very long time. Above all, trust in the slow work of God, our loving vine dresser. And to that, I would say amen.
Amen.
So exactly. Thank you, Janae, for being with us. And I'm Karen Peter. This is Common Grounds, part of the Project Zion podcast. We will be having several episodes to come talking about worship in community of Christ, what it looks like around the globe. And we invite you to share in ordinary time with us in listening to those and the other episodes on the Project Zion podcast. Thank you.
The views expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official views of the Latter-day Seekers team or of Community of Christ. The music has been provided by Ben Howington. You can find his music at mormonguitar.com.